Hey, Internet, you haven't left the house in a while, and you're feeling a little scummy. So first off, brush off the crumbs, take a shower, and then remember that Record Store Day has been moved. It's no longer April 18th. It's now June 20th. Insert crowd cheers here. Yeah, that's right. Record Store Day has not gone away. It's only been pushed back a little bit to help keep everyone who works here and everyone who wants to come support record stores safe. And same great tunes, just a new date. Mark it on your calendars now. We're going to have food, live music, beer, all sorts of fun. And also responsible social choices will be made in accordance with the new normal that we live in. The June 20th Record Store Day, darksiderecords.com.
Hey, Internet. You know you love our Use 2s for Use videos every Monday night, and you want that scoop, you want that gooch. Well, we've got something for you. We just launched a brand new section of our website. If you head on over to used.darksiderecords.com, for the first time, you can now shop our used inventory. We have an ever-evolving, ever-growing inventory of used records, used CDs, used tapes, used movies. We got a whole bunch of stuff that's being constantly updated. You can get all the used Tuesday new arrivals every Tuesday morning. You can shop direct. Bang! You want some Led Zepp? Bang! You want some Van Halen? Bang! Most of it is up there. We're working on it constantly to help you get that fresh gooch, the FFG, as the kids like to call it.
So do it, shop along, Cassidy.
Talking to you, Gooch Ventura, pet detective.
Governor Gooch Ventura?
No, that's a different Gooch Ventura. So head on over to used.darksiderecords.com, or you just go to darksiderecords.com and you can see the link. It's right there. You know.
This is the Dark Side Records and Gallery Podcast.
Justin, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
JB, I'm with you.
Okay. This is our first social distance episode of our podcast.
Yeah, it's bizarre. We never wear headphones, and look at us now.
I know. It's forcing us to be semi-professionals at this whole thing.
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, we're on Zoom. I am at home, or as I like to call it, the JB cave.
I feel like we could work on the name.
Okay. We'll workshop it. Okay.
Yeah.
But I am home recording from my computer. So I will apologize ahead of time. I have two dogs who at any point may just go berserk and start barking at anything that happens to walk by the house.
I had Wendy's for lunch, so you never know what could happen on my end. Or out of my end, I guess I should say.
Man, I haven't had fast food in so long.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's about all I'm eating, because as you know, even before this, there weren't a ton of food options right around here for takeout. So, yep, had a little Wendy's chicken sandwich for lunch.
I had leftover Indian food for lunch.
Indian food sounds so fucking good right now. I'm not even hungry, and that sounds delightful.
I'll preface that whole thing by saying that Jenny made the food last night and she was not happy about the recipe. But I think it's one of those things that even like lackluster Indian food by this standard is still very good Indian food.
Yeah, I mean, even subpar Indian food still has such a great amalgam of spices and things in it that you're like, fuck, what are we doing?
You know what I miss? I will say this is my one thing I miss. Chinese food.
Are all the Chinese restaurants shut down? I haven't tried.
I have not found a single Chinese food place that is open anywhere.
Huh. I did see that Yung Ho 2, the Chinese food I usually go to, is closed.
Damn it.
I went over to get pizza from Bronx Pie.
Mm-hmm.
And, I parked right there next door to each other. So I parked right in front of it. And I was like, oh, I wonder if they're open. Nope. Big old sign on the door.
Mm-hmm. It's like every Chinese food place is closed. I don't know if this is a nationwide thing, but definitely here in the Hudson Valley, there's not a single Chinese food place that I'm aware of that is open. Listeners, if you know of a Chinese food place, please, for the love of God.
We Jonesin.
Leave it in the comments. With that all being said, hey everyone, welcome to the Dark Side Records podcast. This, of course, is
a record of an event.
This is a podcast brought to you by the good folks at Dark Side Records, still located at 611 Dutchess Turnpike in Poughkeepsie. Oh, we'll try to do it together. Let's see if we can look up the other.
That's what we're doing. Okay.
It's at 611 Dutchess Turnpike in Poughkeepsie. Hard to do when you're not in front of each other.
So hard.
Anyway, this is a podcast about music, the music industry, social distancing, takeout food suggestions.
Yeah. More survival suggestions. Okay, recipes. Cue cards, whatever.
I will gladly leave a recipe for lackluster Indian food that I had, and I made a great thing called Dan Dan noodles. No relation to Dan Aloisi.
Dan Dan 220. That's what I went to.
Oh, what's Dan Dan 220?
Do you remember 10-10-220 from the late 90s? That thing you could call for like minutes or something.
No, what?
You don't remember 10-10-220? There was all sorts of fucking commercials about it. It was like, call 10-10-220 for, I don't remember what it got you. It was like international calling or free phone minutes or some shit like that. Maybe it was long distance, but back when long distance was a thing.
That like sparks a weird memory. Like I sort of remember that now that you're saying it.
Yeah, like do you remember AOL free discs?
That I do.
Of the same time, there were these commercials everywhere for like 10-10-220, and I think there were others. But so Dan Dan 220 would be the number that you call for emergency Dan Dan noodles.
Okay. Well, Dan Dan noodles, very easy. If we get any requests, I will leave the recipe in a comment below. They were delicious.
If anybody wants a recipe for like really lazy taco dip, I got you covered.
By that, is it a block of cheese that has been put in the microwave?
Not quite, but you're not super far off. There's a couple more steps.
Okay.
It's weird because I don't normally stare at you during the podcast.
But
if you're on the screen, I feel like I have to stare at you.
Yeah, I'm gonna look over here. I'm gonna look this way.
All right, I'm gonna gaze.
Yeah. Here we go. Let me get settled here. By the way, JB Butthurt 2020 hashtag, my butt is doing better. It's a little tender. Like there's a sweet spot where when I sit where it like hurts. So I have to sit either like really good posture or like really slouched. Like there's that middle where it's still painful.
Right. Right.
So that's where I am.
You did leave your butt pillow here. It's behind the counter.
Believe me, I'm aware.
I know it's been like 3 or 4 weeks, but I'm still unwilling to touch it.
Look, it's no more dangerous than touching a doorknob at the post office. It's actually less dangerous than that.
You know, that I've done, but I'm still not touching the butt pillow.
Well, so we're here, and I thought we should just chat for a few about some of the updates that have happened. Nothing huge has happened since our last episode of our podcast.
Define huge.
Nothing that affects the world on a global scale as well as our independent business on a local level. Nothing like that has happened.
Nothing. I know you haven't been here in a while.
This has been a weird vacation. Working a lot for vacation.
So the doors are closed and locked. Not just closed and locked. So we're currently only doing free shipping or delivery to people to try to get the music into your hands.
That's right, because of course, as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic that is currently sweeping through the world, New York State, specifically where we exist, is on pause, which is a program that was set up by Governor Cuomo. Don't ask me what pause stands for.
It's PAWS. It's just meant to remind you of dogs to make you feel better.
You're thinking of Paw Patrol.
I'm thinking of Santa Buddies, which Drew just traded in on DVD. And I feel like he could use this cuteness this time. He made a mistake.
Like, I learned a lot about Drew. Not you just in his childhood, this, like now.
You should have seen this fucking DVD collection that I went through. I really wanted to play a game of who in the Mayans household owned what DVD, because I think I could have done pretty well.
Oh, that's a good one.
It turns out, wait, are we going to show a video of this?
Sure.
Hold on, be right back. Okay. Sneak preview of forthcoming used.
Pause.
Okay. We're back. So, upcoming used. First ever in the store. One time and one time only, goddammit.
Mm-hmm.
On DVD. Seasons 1, 2, 3, and 4, volume 1 only. It is, of course, Cake Boss. Autographed by Buddy
Summerfield.
Autographed by Buddy Velastro himself. Still sealed in the package, people.
Wait, important question. Did he sign the outer shrink or did he sign the DVD?
No, it's pre-packaged like this. It's pre-signed and then shrink-wrapped. And you can take home all 4 pounds of Cake Boss because, as you all know, cake is very comforting in a time of need.
You're so,
vis-a-vis, Cake Boss is very comforting. And probably at least 12 hours worth of cake footage here. I'm getting a horrible glare, but... There it is.
Thanks,
is how I'm going to do the entire interview later on.
Oh, good.
Every now and then, like, I'll peek up, and then mostly I'm just going to hold Buddy Velastro here.
Okay.
I think his facial expression kind of really sums up the mood that we all feel. Meh. What you going to do about it, eh?
Hey, eat some cake.
Hey, you want something wrapped in some fucking fondant or something? I got it. That's sugar, bitch.
It's getting threatening as the seasons go on there. More and more aggressive.
So guess who owned this in the Mayans household?
I'm going to go Mama Mayans.
That's what I would have guessed. But it turns out that baby sister Mayans really had a big Cake Boss phase. And they went down to the bakery in New Jersey. And they got like some... I don't know, cake, I presume. And this here sealed DVD box set, which is so rare that I can't even find any information about it on the internet.
So is it because she really likes cake or because she has a type?
You know, I don't know. If we could get her as a guest, we'll have to ask her.
All right, I'll send her an email real quick. I'll get her out here.
Yeah, let's get Drew on, see if he can explain his sister's cake fetish.
Well, this does raise a couple important things that we actually wanted to talk about, which is our store is closed. You are correct. The doors are locked as per pause for New York State. We're not doing any curbside pickup. We're not doing anything in-store, but we're still shipping worldwide. We're doing free domestic shipping. If you place an order that's going to the U.S., we'll ship that to you for free. We're still doing used tubes for used videos. We're still pumping out a bunch of content for you that you can still watch. So every Monday night, we're still going live with
There's
Tyler.
There's that C word again.
Which one is that?
Content. art.
No, it's just garbage on the internet.
Oh, God.
We're just clogging the drain of the internet way at the bottom there. It's just filling up. Anyway, so we're doing our used videos on Monday nights, still going live. We've been posting some other stuff that you can watch, like on Facebook and YouTube. We've been posting our Wall Record Wednesday videos, which is something we've been talking about doing for a while now.
That's WWW for you kids.
But yes, so we're here. We're here.
You can call us. Give us a call. 845-452-8010. We are taking phone orders, and we've had a decent amount. We'll take your credit card right over the phone. If you don't want to do that, we're also taking Venmo payments, nice and easy, and no fees for us. So we enjoy that. That's pretty cool.
Cool. And, of course, every Friday is still New Release Fridays. New releases are still coming out. Some dates are shifting, so do pay attention to our site. We'll try to keep you updated with things as they come in and as we learn about them. This whole thing is just constantly evolving, and we're just rolling with the punches.
I guess on that front, I should clerical note right now. A lot of people have been asking still about the Nick Mason Live at the Roundhouse.
Mm.
We've got a bunch of pre-orders and people have called about it. It was supposed to come out this Friday, the 17th of April, but it has been pushed to Friday, September 18th. You got to get your mace on later.
And that does raise actually something that is a great thing to talk about, is pre-orders.
For real.
Pre-orders are always helpful to a record store. It helps us understand, you know, what you guys want, what we can get in for you. But in this time of a COVID shutdowns,
it's extra important because the way most industry works is we pay up front for the stuff that comes into the store. So knowing what people are going to want rather than having to scramble later for it or not ordering something that maybe somebody doesn't want is extra helpful right now because the cash is a little tighter than usual.
Mm-hmm. You know what we should do? We should set up our new release fixture for anyone who hasn't been in the store, who's a listener. When you normally, during regular conditions, you'd walk in the front door and there's a big display that is each week's new releases on a giant black easel. Just giant black display. We should push that thing in front of one of the windows or something and like put like a note. Just people can point at what they want and they can call us.
Oh, that reminds me. And I'm 100% not kidding right now. You know when you go to the bank and they have like those drawers where they push out to the car at a drive-up?
Mm-hmm.
Like a big steel drawer? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about putting a big steel drawer in the wall at Darkside.
I am 100% pro this idea. 100%.
I'm considering having drive-up records where you can literally walk up to a drawer on the side of the building. No window. Fuck the window. We'll just put a little camera out there and a microphone so we can hear and see you. And, you know, we'll just pop your record in the drawer, whatever you need, and push it out to you like you're buying beer in Florida at midnight.
I love this idea. I've always said we should do, like, some sort of drive-through window.
I've never heard you say that.
That's a lie. It's a lie. I pictured it more like McDonald's, though. You know, like a two-station thing with, like, a glass window, and someone takes an order, and then they drive around and go to the second window.
Yeah, I'm going. No more glass. We don't need points of entry. We just need a cold steel hole in the wall for you to get your fill.
That's like, it's the Dark Side glory hole. Is really what it is.
I love it.
Please, God, do not put your penises in the steel thing that we're putting in the wall.
I'm pretty sure it could really break your dick, so I wouldn't do it.
Do not do it. Please, God, we don't have this kind of lawsuit, buddy. Don't do it.
You know what's interesting? In reading about them, there's all various levels of bulletproof.
Glory holes or window for transactions things?
I assume most glory holes aren't bulletproof, but drawers, on the other hand, that's not like a level one, that's your basic, and they go up to a level three. Adds a couple hundred bucks to the cost. And I feel like this isn't Newberg. I don't think we need highest level gun protection from our drawer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I like this plan. We'll make some mock-ups.
Yeah, we're going to, we're going to need some specs and some what have yous.
And a sledgehammer. That's the most important part of the whole thing.
We are well stocked on Peter Gabriel's sledgehammer, so we're gonna be all right.
When we install it, that better be the first fucking order that comes through that first fucking drive-through order.
Definitely, the Instagram video of like me swinging the sledgehammer needs to be set to Peter Gabriel's sledgehammer.
Not a problem. So it probably doesn't need to be said that our live events have been postponed in store.
It might need to be said, because at least once a day I'm getting a phone call. It's like, hey, you're open? Like, okay. No, we're not open.
All right, let me start this whole thing over then. So all of our events have been postponed, or most of our events have been postponed, I should say. That includes, of course, Record Store Day, which was supposed to be this weekend.
This Saturday, the 18th.
At the time of this recording. But fret not, record fans worldwide. Or at least, I guess, in the United States. Record Store Day is not canceled. It is happening. It has been postponed. And it is now happening June 20th here at Dark Side Records. Fingers crossed. Correct. Yeah, fingers crossed. Yes.
Not going away. And it is worldwide. The whole day has been pushed worldwide to June 20th. So we could talk about the positives of that, perhaps. The most glaringly obvious one would be nicer weather overnight.
Oh, it's going to be the best one ever.
Yeah, and you know, as long as it doesn't like rain or something, I guess it'll be much warmer out. So mm-hmm. for you, mm-hmm. those of you who usually camp out overnight, maybe it'll make the competition more fierce because people will be like, "Ah, I'm not going to be cold."
It's true.
Interesting. Yeah. Get it in your brains. You never know, people. But yeah, as far as we know, still going to happen on June 20th. Most of the releases will be the same. Some of them are going to be out beforehand just because of how the nature of the beast works. But
so there are a couple titles that have been shifted. You could still see the list via our website. But there are things like, for example, The Strokes, their new album, The New Abnormal, which came out this past week, still came out. And it was supposed to be a Record Store Day exclusive cassette version that you can now just get. It came out on release date with the regular album. So if you were looking for that, you do not have to wait till Record Store Day. You can call us, you can message us, you can email us, and we have a couple copies, and we will ship them out to you.
Yeah, we do still have a couple copies left. And this is The New Abnormal. And get them while you can, because they are still limited.
This is what Justin would look like if he shaved his beard and cut his hair.
It's absolutely true.
And speaking of events, we have something that is going on this weekend. But I guess it's technically happening in your home. That's right. There's a documentary called Vinyl Nation, which was slated to come out on records as part of Record Store Day?
Yeah, so it was going to be released on Record Store Day, so this Saturday. Mm-hmm. And rather than forego that, they're saying, fuck it, full steam ahead.
That's the press release.
Yeah. But it's literally, I'm reading this piece of paper right now. It says, fuck it, full steam ahead.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're going to release it anyway, but they're doing something pretty cool in which they're allowing indie stores across the country to sign up and get an exclusive link so that whenever, say, our fans of Dark Side Records here are interested in watching this awesome documentary about record stores, they click our link and then rent the movie, Dark Side gets the proceeds from that rental.
That's right. They're donating 100% of all proceeds from this weekend screenings to independent record stores across the country. And every record store has a link, so we have a specific link, which you can get. I'll leave it in the description of this podcast. I'll leave it below. And if you need to, it's also on darksiderecords.com or on any of our social media. But it's easy. It's $10. You get a great documentary that's all about vinyl records and the reemergence of vinyl records. But I'm not going to spoil it.
No.
Because you know who would like to spoil what the documentary is about?
Buddy.
Close.
Who?
I think we should get the guys who made the documentary to talk about the documentary.
Well, that would be pretty good.
Okay. Let me, by the magic of the internet.
If I had a symbol behind me.
That's a... There good lord. Go. That's how magic happens right there.
That's the noise.
Let me see if I can patch them in. Okay, so we're gonna let's see here. Whoa, there's so many strange noises coming from that fancy microphone. I know.
Do you want me to reduce the volume on this thing?
No, it's fine. It's
okay.
You'll hear this when I post the recording. There's these strange, or maybe no one else is hearing this, but there's these strange like robot noises coming through, like strange.
Yeah, I hear that.
Or kind of what sound like, this is just going to set the tone for the podcast. They sound kind of like what I imagine like a wet robot fart would sound like. It's kind of the sound that's coming through.
Who invited the wet robot? Come
on. Those two things seem counterintuitive to me.
Now
robots
that you mention
and
it. Like...
We're in enough trouble with wet markets. Let's not bring the robots into it.
Oh, Jesus, man.
Well done. Okay, everyone, can you hear me? Can you hear me out there on the internet?
We can.
We've got you.
Okay, yes. Okay. I'm doing a bit. It's not a good bit. You know, we don't really commit to these things. Okay, so excellent. Welcome all to the Dark Side Records podcast. This is, of course, a podcast brought to you by the good folks at Dark Side Records, located at 611 Dutchess Turnpike in
Poughkeepsie.
We're working on sticking that up. It's better in person. And we have two special guests with us here today. I'm not good at pronunciations, so I will just try not to butcher these as much as I can. I believe your first name is Chris Boone. I know what it is. It's Chris Boone and Kevin Smokler.
Yes. Hello.
Nailed it.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having us.
Of course.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah. And thank you for what you are doing, which is, of course, this coming weekend, which is weird to say was Record Store Day or was scheduled to be Record Store Day. You guys are doing, you put together a documentary called Vinyl Nation. There's that robot fart again. Right out the gate. you guys have put together a documentary called Vinyl Nation, which is, you guys are doing an online screening this weekend, formerly Record Store Day weekend. And we wanted to thank you guys, A, for doing this because of your support for independent record stores, and to talk a little bit about the movie and what our listeners can expect if they sign on to watch this thing this weekend.
Kevin, take it away. What's the movie about?
Thanks, guys. Vinyl Nation is a 92-minute feature-length documentary about the comeback of records and record stores in America over the last 15 years and what it means in this perilous time. Not pandemic perilous time, but just perilous time here in the 21st century. We didn't anticipate all recording this from our various sheltered places when we made the movie last year. The movie is about records and the people who love them and the role records have in our lives and the human connection they create amongst us, amongst people of every walk of life here in America in the 21st century.
And then just kind of jumping in, you said, what would people expect? Well, again, we didn't expect this to happen at all. And we were hoping, you know, maybe to land at a festival or bring this out, you know, at a special event, maybe in Austin at the Austin Record Convention. And yeah, then COVID-19 happened and that just flipped everything on its head. So when everything shut down, a few days into this whole thing, I had a crazy idea and I called up Kevin and said, I have a crazy idea. I said, how would you feel about us putting our movie online for one weekend only, the original Record Store Day weekend, and we do it to raise money for independent record stores. And when we sell tickets, we give all the ticket proceeds back to the record stores. And we don't keep anything. What do you think? And Kevin, your response to this was?
This sounds great. we didn't have any other. I was lacking in any better ideas. And we didn't know when we were going to be able to show this movie to anybody because we always pictured being there in person with whomever was going to get to see it first. But record stores changed our lives. You know, Chris worked at a record store in his 20s, and I grew up in the shadow of the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, and really, you know, my adolescence on into adult life was defined by school kids records and Encore recordings and later Underground Sounds and places like that in Ann Arbor, and now particularly being relatively new record people, I follow that classic trajectory of I'm 46, so I was slightly too young to be a vinyl person the first time around. I was a cassette person when I first got into buying music. And then it was in 2007 in my 30s when I became a record person again. So Chris and I are each sort of relatively new record people as adults. But record stores have been with us our entire lives and have shaped us. And so we figured, A, it was the least we could do, and B, it was good karmically for our movie to begin with an act of generosity towards the people who spiritually inspired the movie.
That's really cool. So how did you guys get involved with Record Store Day in the first place?
Record Store Day, one of the early inspirations for our movie was the owner of Park Avenue CD in Orlando, Sandy Bittman. Sandy and I have a mutual friend, and we met at that mutual friend's 40th birthday 5 years ago and completely hit it off. And I was relatively new to records at that point, and Sandy owned a record store, so I had 1,000 questions for him. And Sandy introduced us to Carrie Colleton. They're old friends, and Carrie is one of the co-managers of Record Store Day. And he recommended that if we were going to the Making Vinyl conference in Detroit that year, that we should try and hook up with Carrie. I'm from Southeast Michigan. I'll take any excuse to go back to where I came from, particularly in the fall, which is the best time to be there. So at that Making Vinyl conference is when we met Carrie, and we started telling her about our movie. And actually, there's probably a good half dozen people in our movie that we first laid eyes on at the Making Vinyl conference. But it came about, and Carrie was actually supposed to be in our movie. And the day we were scheduled to interview her at her home in Raleigh, we ended up sitting in an airport lounge in Orlando with a flight that was delayed 5 and 6 hours. And Chris can talk about the logistics of that. It was one of those things that a smart planner like Chris would never do, but we made an exception.
Yeah, that's what happens when you decide I'm never going to schedule an interview on a day that we have a flight, and we basically please carry in at the last minute, only to have her flight delayed and have to cancel on her at the last minute as well. So yeah, that never happened, and we just couldn't squeeze her interview back in. But she's been fantastic since we've stayed in touch. And as we said earlier, this project, what we're doing right now, it wouldn't happen without Carrie's help. When Kevin and I kicked around this initial idea, we both realized the only way this happens is if Record Store Day, the organization, can get the word out to the record stores, because there's just no way Kevin and I could do that on our own. So we pitched Carrie on the idea. We said, we know this is crazy, but do you think record stores would be interested? And if so, would you be willing to help us? And she said, I think it's a great idea. If you guys can put together a system that you think will work for this, let me know. So over the weekend after that call, we cobbled it together and presented it to Carrie and said, you know, do you think this will fly? She said, yeah, that's great. And then she was willing to get the word out to those record stores. And as I've said earlier, I think the email went out from Carrie, and no lie, like the minute that email went out, we started getting hammered with requests. And I think we had the first 50 stores sign up within 10, 15 minutes of that email going out. So the rest of that day was just Kevin and myself furiously signing up record stores. It's all manual on our end, and I'm color coding our spreadsheet. Kevin, you're blue, I'm yellow, go. And so that was a fun day to get everybody kind of initially set up. But yeah, without Carrie's help, this wouldn't happen. She's continued to be super supportive. She's the one who's been making sure that the website on Record Store Day continues to get updated with the new stores, making sure the stores know about it. And then we're reaching out to stores, basically backing up Carrie's communications.
Carrie's the best, and you definitely don't mess with Carrie either. And if you're going to get something done, Carrie's the person to do it for sure.
For sure.
Yeah, we're glad to be in this with her. It was very clear to us that we knew what we wanted to do to help, but we don't have the megaphone to speak to 1,400 record stores at once, and we needed someone who did, particularly if it was going to be linked to the original date of Record Store Day, which spiritually kind of makes sense for what our movie is about and for the fact that none of us can participate in Record Store Day. And we, Chris and I, have very good memories of Record Store Day 2019, because we were in the dead middle of our shoot in the dead middle of the country at Mills Records in Kansas City.
Cool.
Because we had met Judy at some point in our research, and she said, oh yeah, people show up 48 hours ahead of time and set up, you know, tents and hibachis in front of our store and wait for Record Store Day. And Chris and I don't live in the same place, but it was very clear to us that we were sort of nodding and saying, we're like, yeah, and we're going to be there. We're going to be there to film all of that.
That's amazing.
So we had I think it was like a 4:30 call time that morning or something like that.
Pretty much. Because we were shooting before 5:30. So yes.
And we filmed the line, and we talked to people in line, and we managed to get sort of sneak in the back door of the store and get in there when the doors open. came in and they were the staff was handing out donuts to people in line. It was really a special day of filming for us, and we were all set actually to go back to Kansas City and invite everybody who was in that store who we could find to come to a special screening of the movie 1 year later.
Cool.
That didn't happen, obviously.
Yeah.
But the ability to do something on this scale with record stores again on Record Store Day is really special to us, and Carrie, and of course all the stores are the only reason it's happening.
So about how many stores do you think you have signed up already?
Let's see. I'm looking at the list right now, and I believe altogether we have 165 stores signed up. And some of those stores have multiple outlets. So, when you actually go to Record Store Day's website, and you counted, you probably actually find more than that, but,
yeah.
And they come so far, they come from, I think we're at 43 states and the District of Columbia, and Kevin is on a mission to get all 50 states signed up. And, because of Kevin's social media genius, he did an awesome post yesterday on Facebook, tagging a lot of stores in those missing states, and boom, boom, boom. Here come the Dakotas. Here comes Wyoming. Here comes Mississippi in the door. Hats off to Kevin. He's the front office man. I'm the back office man when it comes to the project. And so all of a sudden I see the Dakotas. Where are these coming from? Oh, Kevin did a Facebook post. Got it. Kevin,
we lost him.
Lose him.
Yep.
Kevin, are you with us, Kevin?
I was just like,
this is like a Gary Newman record that's happening right here.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, we missed everything you just said.
That's
we just missed all of it. Okay, start again.
I'll say it again. Okay. Basically, it was like the last 20 seconds of California Love, you know, with Snoop and with Dre and Tupac, where they're like calling out the neighborhoods, and it's like Inglewood, always up to no good. And I was like, I was basically doing the Facebook equivalent, because we had 10 states unrepresented at that point. I'm like, South Dakota, where you at? North Dakota, come on. Mississippi, and like I was making C-minus jokes about record stores names, and saying Meridian, Mississippi, we've always wanted to go there, and Chris is probably like, what in hell are you committing us to? Because like, when we're all out of lockdown, we know there's going to be a dozen stores who'll be like, you remember when you promised to come to Frisco, Texas? And I'll be like, uh-huh. And Chris will be like, that's your job, I got kids. So that was really fun, and I think we sort of got about halfway through the last 10 states with that little effort yesterday. I have a feeling Alaska and Hawaii are going to be kind of hard to come by, but there's a couple of stores in Anchorage that look super cool.
At Music Biz 2 or 3 years ago, I met a store from Hawaii, and they were super nice dudes, and I'll have to try to reach out to them. I think we're Facebook friends.
We had a customer from Hawaii ask, are there any stores from Hawaii? I said, no, help us out. And I listed the ones that were on the Record Store Day website. So, you know, aloha to the Hawaiian stores, and, you know, let's get you on board here.
I feel like I need to make it my mission as well. There's some strange satisfaction I'm also going to get knowing that it's in Alaska and Hawaii.
I think if we shake enough trees, starting with you guys, someone's going to be like, my brother used to work for, you know, Granite State Records in Manchester, New Hampshire, or something like that.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think this is just even for those of us who have really tiny record collections, there's something about being a completist, right? Like,
right, exactly.
Once you start, you got to get them all. And, you know, like the Police, that's an easy one to fill out. So like, why don't you have all the Police albums?
Mm-hmm.
This is the same thing. We got to be completists. It's called Vinyl Nation. So we've got to get the rest out there, but it's also been fun to see all these things come through and start to actually recognize all these just wild record store names and unique record store names. However, it's also, we have to be careful and make sure we give out unique ticket IDs, because for whatever reason, the Record Exchange That's a very popular name for record stores.
It is,
some variation thereof, Exchange. So note to those of you thinking of opening a record store, don't put Exchange in the name. Too many stores have that name already. But I actually have been fascinated how few duplicates there are in the 1,400 stores that are on the list. So, and Dark Side, that nobody else has that. So good on you guys.
The one I was going to mention, I'm pretty sure will never be replicated, is Hot Poop.
Hot Poop is not on board yet, but
oh really?
We welcome them. I would remember that.
Fix this. I'll punt on the 50 states if we can get Hot Poop in on this.
No, both. Don't give up on the original goal.
I'll see what I can do. I've met them before.
Yeah, actually, reaching out directly has definitely been helpful because there are people within our movie that we want to make sure that they can actually get tickets from their favorite record store. So I know one of the people I keep thinking of is Roz Lee. She lives in Harlem. She works for the Miz Foundation. And we were actually going to do an event, we hope we still can, this summer in her neighborhood with Cinderblock people. And so basically, you know, a combination of multiple people reaching out, like, hey, check your email. Hey, here, you know, guys, sign up. That definitely helps. And it's been interesting to see some of the stories come through of people that we didn't know that are just in our networks. They see our announcement. They see this is how you sign up. And a store comes through. And then we get an email say, hey, I want to give a shout out to my friend who's the only reason I know about this. Even though they did get an email from Record Store. Right? Who knows where that ended up? Spam folder? Yeah. I don't know. We don't open all of our emails. So that's been really cool. Just having customers say, you know, I want my Vinyl Nation. That's been awesome.
So if we have
it was Carrie's idea. Can you hear me now? It's Carrie's idea that public, like the store record buying public, would be part of the effort to get record stores signed up. We figured the communication would all be coming from Record Store Day and us to the stores. And then Carrie was like, no, like let the public call up their favorite record store and effectively say, I want my MTV. And that was a masterstroke. Like I think we would have been 50% less in terms of stores signed up if Carrie hadn't thought of that.
There's always something to be said for public shaming.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I think because of the way Record Store Day works and you have to go to your favorite local record store to get these titles and also to get those stores to sign up for Record Store Day, that's also been the same philosophy of how we've approached how people need to get tickets. We want to make sure that people are going to their store and not just getting tickets from any store, right? We want people to support their local communities. And so while it would be easy for us to put up a page on our website and just list all the ticket links, that just means whoever is alphabetically at the top of the list would just get a bunch of tickets from you know, people that don't shop there.
Yeah.
So while it does take a little bit of work maybe for customers to find that ticket link, it means they have to go reach out to their stores. And again, that was Carrie's advice. And we know we are making people jump through some hoops, but again, those are hoops I think people are willing to jump through to make sure that they can support their local record stores. I haven't heard any complaints about it. If somebody reaches out to us and asks about a particular store, we make sure that we give them that particular link if we have it. And if not, we tell them, hey, go tell them to sign up. So it's like Kevin said, it's worked really well.
I was just going to say we can't sign up any store without their consent. So because ultimately they're the ones who are going to, it's their relationship with their customer that matters less so than our relationship with the ticket buyer. So that we always try and initiate the communication between the customer and the store.
I was going to say just as the first day that we posted about it, I would say there was a good like 30 responses at least just in the first 24 hours. And I think it's just continued to grow from there.
Yeah, we definitely
have a very loyal group at Dark Side.
We do.
that we do.
And that's what we've seen across the board. You can see an initial surge when it's first posted and people love it. It's a great idea. From the customer's perspective, it's a way they can support you guys, their favorite stores. I think what's really important at this stage in the process is for stores like Dark Side that have signed up early, and I'm sure you guys are already doing this, it's the continual promotion. It's being able to keep reminding people. Because I think there are a lot number of people who have created Facebook events and they've got people who have signed up. Yeah, I'm going, but they haven't bought the tickets yet.
Right.
So we keep every day the overall ticket sales has surged as more stores have come on board and as we're getting closer to the weekend. But I also realize people are waiting until the weekend to make their plans. And honestly, given right now, it's a lot to ask somebody to part with $10, especially when things are up in the air. Again, hopefully we're offering something of value in return to them with a movie that they hopefully will enjoy. But we think, you know, right before the weekend and then the weekend itself, stores are going to be able to continue to sell tickets. Or we think there's going to be a surge there, but really hope that stores are able to keep promoting it, you know, for the next couple of days, get people excited about it.
I think it's pretty cool because we've never really had the opportunity to do anything like this. So it's a new frontier for us. And like, I know I'll be watching on Saturday and I assume that a bunch of our customers will be watching and they're all going to want to talk about it with us. We do a video every Monday night where we go live on Facebook and talk about some new arrivals. And I guarantee you there's going to be discussion after the weekend about what we all saw in the documentary on Saturday.
Hopefully some positive comments.
And I'll even say to any listeners who are listening to this right now, if you want to do a watch party, you're all going to buy your own individual goddamn tickets. But if you want to do a watch party, send us a message. We'll gladly jump on something like this, a Zoom call or whatever. We'll watch it with you. We could talk about it and maybe even do a little follow-up podcast featuring you guys.
They would love that.
That'd be cool.
I mean, I think, you know, it'll be very clear from watching our movie and I think listening to the two of us that the physicalness and the specificness of going to a record store is a big part of what is special about it. I also think that the message or one of the things we hope people take from the movie is that records create a kind of cultural and spiritual bond between people that are often from different walks of life with the record as kind of the hub at the center of the wheel. And as such, I think it's perfect. It is completely possible for a record store like yours that has already, like Darkside, that has already kind of cemented that bond, the record store and the music being at the center of the wheel. In times when the record store cannot act like a physical place, that bond can be used in other ways, as you are indicating, a way for people to still celebrate what they have in common, even if they can't all be in the same place together.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, Record Store Day is a great example of that, because no matter what, like, you know, we have these relationships with people, we see them weekly or once a month or whatever, but something about Record Store Day brings everybody out on the same day. It's like a huge family reunion, but with people you actually want to see and are excited to interact with and talk about music. And
like you'll see when you watch the movie, when we're at Mills Record Company on Store Day, as one of them says, you know, these are all my friends, but I only see them once a year here in line at Record Store Day. I don't even remember the names, but we're always together in line.
Yeah.
And it's really, they're laughing about it, but it's true. They're not laughing about it. They have ongoing years-long inside jokes with people they don't know the name of, but they totally expect to show up. And it's really funny to watch and how they talk about, it's just a game to try to figure out when showing up in line. And it's a secret people decide to get in line. And that's just, it was just a lot of fun. And it was great to kind of be welcomed into that. We know that happens over the country. And it's just, it kills us that it's not going to happen this particular weekend. We, you know, hoping for it to be happening in June for everybody too. And again, we just hope that this screening is just maybe just a little way to kind of us all together around those moments and be thinking about it that way. And again, to then give that money to the record stores that we all appreciate on those days, because there's just nothing like it. It's just such a fun event.
We had a sort of no famous person rule for this movie. And part of that was just scheduling, because we didn't want to spend all of our time in pre-production dealing with people's assistants and publicists and that kind of thing, and agents and such. And also we if the title Vinyl Nation wasn't going to be just a bunch of pretentious hot air, we really felt like the people in it had to be ordinary people who represented kind of a snapshot of America in the 21st century. So everybody in the movie is an ordinary person. Some of them work in the music business, some of them work in pressing plants, but no one is a household name per se. And also, one of the things, probably the biggest compliment we were paid in the making of the movie up to the point until it was done, was our editing team actually, when pulling the footage together, looked at everybody we had talked to in the movie, most of whom don't know each other because they live at all different points in the nation. And they said, I have a feeling if you put all these people in the same room, they would all like each other and they would all become friends. And Chris actually said, well, that's our goal. The thing, if the lights come up and people walk away from the movie, the thing we want them to take, if nothing else, is you've just met 40 new friends because you like records the same way they do.
That's really cool. I know it's going to happen. It's going to happen regardless. We'll get there.
I mean, we haven't anticipated this, Chris, but like, what if someone's like, oh, I think Roz or Elliot or Jean-Luc or Oliver or Morgan or any of these people, can I write them a letter? We haven't discussed that yet.
No, we haven't. Fan mail. I don't know. Just connecting.
Yeah.
I imagine.
Like, yeah, I don't know how we're going to do
fan mail. People will ultimately connect with one another. And again, when we have every intention to eventually travel with this movie once we can and see it with audiences and share it that way. And we shot in a lot of different cities, so we shot with a variety of people in those cities who don't know each other. So actually, it will be cool to bring some of our interview subjects together who have not met one another to introduce them to one another. And it's kind of funny because we never expected that they would all essentially have the opportunity to see the film ahead of time, but now they all will. So by the time we can actually bring it out into a theater, it'll be the second experience for all of the people that have been in the film itself. So that'll be interesting to see how that conversation goes.
So
it's also been really cool for the people we talked to who weren't record store owners or record store employees. It's been really cool for those people in our movie for us to be like, so what record store is your ticket money going to? And sometimes it's, you know, the record store on the same block where they live. Sometimes it's the one they grew up with. Sometimes it's the one it's been really, we interviewed one guy who used to work at Light in the Attic Records, and we had no idea that his parents were in the record store business. All of these weird little connections people have to record stores, depending on what point in their life you're highlighting.
So I was going to ask, we've talked a lot about like the record stores and the people surrounding the industry that make up the movie, but what's sort of like the actual arc of the movie? Like, what can people expect that it's about?
Well, it's a couple of different things. And actually, when we were planning the film, we had kind of buckets of character types, so to speak, that we were going out to interview. And as Kevin has said before in other interviews, you know, when you're making a documentary, you can essentially kind of try to plan what that structure is going to be. And even in one like this, where we're not trying to chronicle a story that's revealing itself in real time, you still don't know what you're going to have until you get to the post-production process. And what was fascinating was we had an outline. Our editing team then came up with their own version. And what's kind of quite amazing to me is the two truly have met into a hybrid. And I can still see the skeleton of our structure, but it's been mapped over with our editing team's kind of genius ways of structuring story. So essentially what you'll see is, in addition to just, you know, excitement about Record Store Day initially, we're going to kind of take you through what so makes records so great. We'll show you a little bit about how records are made, but we won't bore you about it. We'll give you a short history lesson about a long playing record. We will introduce you to our characters who kind of take us through that story. And then we'll get a lot of different perspectives about why all these people like records and it's how they have shaped their lives. But we also drill down into other things like the challenges of making a really good record in a pressing plant, the environmental issues about making records, the sexism that has been around in the record industry all across that spectrum, how that has changed over the years. But like we keep saying, more than anything, we want people to see the faces and the people telling these stories in our film, because just seeing them represents what Vinyl Nation is and what it looks like. And it was the question that we were asked early on in the planning process. Like, why isn't this a book? Why isn't this a podcast? This had to be a visual medium, because we needed to see those faces, not just hear their voices. And so that's ultimately what led us towards the documentary itself. I don't want to reveal everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I want people to go on the journey. But it is pretty quickly paced. The beauty of doing this the way we are doing this is you may have missed something along the way. We hope you don't, because we just keep sweeping you along. You can watch it again because it'll be up for 48 hours, essentially, over that weekend. So feel free to rewind and check out a bit if you missed something. Kevin, what else do you think about when you think about what the story is?
I mean, we assumed like the first 200 friends the movie would have are people who love records and music and record stores and that kind of thing. And we hope those people see their own experience with records and record stores reflected, but also say, you know, I never thought of that. I never thought of that about my experience with music. I never thought about where records came from or how they were made or the environmental impact of record or what it's like to be someone who's grown up with records versus someone who's 20, was not around when records were the predominant musical medium and are coming back to what is an old technology now. I mean, we have some kids in this movie so what's it like to be 5 and 6 and 11 and be sharing records with your parents? Like, I don't want to share anything with my parents when I was that age. And now I own all my dad's records. And so I think what we wanted is for people to both to feel like it's not only comfort food, but it's also comfort food that that stokes your curiosity for more and different versions of that comfort food.
It's a good tagline right there.
I'll have to write that one down.
So, Kevin, you know Sandy, so you must be based in the Florida area.
No, I'm based in California. I'm based in San Francisco, and Chris is based in Albuquerque. And Chris and I went to college together. I'm 2 years older than Chris, so we didn't have a whole lot of overlap in college, but we became reacquainted when in 2016 and 17 when I was on book tour, and I wrote a book called Brat Pack America, which is about 80s teen movies. And Chris, who has a really strong relationship with the filmmaking and movie community in Albuquerque, invited me out to Albuquerque for some screenings of The Breakfast Club and Heathers and stuff like that. And we sort of got back in touch and really enjoyed working together during that process. As Chris asked me to take a look at a feature-length narrative film he had made called Sense, C-E-N-T-S. And I did, and I thought it was friggin' great. And I was like, my God, this is fantastic. And so putting that movie together, which showed me Chris really know how to make movies, I certainly didn't, and that we really liked working together, I said to him, what if we wanted to make a movie together? And he said, about what? And I said, well, you know, I write books about nonfiction subjects. I don't know how to tell a story that like isn't real. And so I said, I've been messing around with this idea about like, is there anything to say about the comeback of records? Because at this point, like, why records had come back? There have been 100 magazine articles written about that. That wasn't necessary. But what did it mean? Like, why the sudden ardor for a brand, for an old technology? We don't feel this way about VHS tapes or kinescopes or you know, throwaway dime paperback novels. So so why? Why do we feel this way about records? And what does it mean that we are as excited about this brand new old technology? And that was kind of where it began. It was I'd say it was, Chris, you can correct me, but I'd say it was pretty casual at first. It was just a lot of like, yeah. It was a lot of bullshitting on the phone.
Yeah, it was just it started in, I think, March of 2018. You pitched the idea to me, and I said, I think there's something there. And it helps that I have a daughter who's 16 now, so she would have been 14 mm-hmm. then, and she had had a Crossley turntable since she was 10. And then my wife and I had gotten back into records. So I knew there was something there. And we just kind of kicked big ideas back and forth for several weeks. And then we started reaching out, mostly through Kevin's network, to start talking to people and doing a little bit more primary research about it, which then continued to snowball and have more and more phone calls. And then the midterm elections happened in November 2018. And by that point in time, we had talked to a ton of people and we thought we had a pretty good idea. And I said to Kevin, you know what? The country's pretty divided right now. And I think it's going to be even more divided in 2 years in 2020. Like, wouldn't it be great to come out with a documentary that was actually about bringing people together over something they love, even if they have totally different opinions about other things? Like, wouldn't that be cool? And he's like, yeah, that'd be great. And I said, awesome. That means we have to start shooting our documentary in March 2019. Oh, so then we kind of kicked everything
in high gear. When I passed out and then I woke up an hour later.
Yeah, so then we had to kind of figure it all out. And sure enough, come March 2019, we were shooting this thing and had it in the can by June. And then we're in post-production last summer. Here we are today. And again, we see what happens when you make plans, but we are actually able to, you know, to show it to people in 2020. And I think we're right about things being divided, but I think I see people coming together in interesting ways right now too. So using this as a way, again, to help record stores out and bring people together in a way that we didn't expect just seemed natural for this. So it's been a fun ride so far.
That's really cool. I don't know. It's got good feelings of anticipation just waiting for it now. Like, something to now, bring it together.
The thing that's keeping Kevin up at night, and me only slightly, is technical difficulties. So you'll find out. We'll be sending out a URL and a password so people can access this. But I'll admit, you know, we had to cobble this thing together in a way that enabled us to sell tickets and still can maintain control over the film itself. Yeah. And make it a unique event, but also have it very time limited. Like, nobody can own it. And we're not doing a traditional rental. Like, I'm confident that it's going to work just fine. I don't think everyone's going to hit it at the exact same time. And even if they did, it's not like we're talking Super Bowl audiences here. Right. But it is definitely something that we are both thinking about. And we're both going to be on customer service all weekend long. I recognize that if there are any technical difficulties, it's most likely not going to be on our end. It's going to be user difficulties, but we're going to do our best to answer all those questions and give tidbits. Basically, shut everything down on your computer. Just run one tab. Don't have a bunch of other applications opening. We've had people ask if they can stream it on their smart TVs. Not in your traditional ways, but if you're clever enough to Chromecast or send things to a Roku device or a mirror with your Apple TV, you could still do that too. But we hope most people will be satisfied with an online experience on their computers, on their iPads, God forbid on their phones. it will work on all those devices. And just understand, we're really doing this for the record stores. And we do hope to come to your town on the big screen and meet people in person. That's the one thing that we're like, okay, hopefully this is going to work the way we said it's going to. We've got some backup plans and worst case scenarios, which I don't think will come to fruition. But, you know, we've got those plans in our back pocket, because you can't make a film without a contingency plan. Same way with everything that we're doing here.
No, we had a really fun, productive time shooting this. I think anyone who's more experienced than me with filmmaking knows that, like, set experiences come in all shapes, sizes, and vintages. And sometimes you have a great a great shoot, and sometimes you just have an awful shoot. And we really had a great shoot. Like we had a tremendous crew, and we all had a lot of fun, and we enjoyed meeting everybody and talking. And it's a fan favorite of a subject. You know, it's not a subject with a lot of divisive opinions around about it. But even then, in retrospect, really funny, fun mishaps in making this thing. But at the time, I was sort of digging holes in the carpet, running around in circles. And Chris was like, okay, we'll just figure this out. and that's in a nutshell, that is the beauty of our partnership. But yeah, I mean, we really hope that this screening this weekend is the beginning of an ongoing friendship we have with the nation's record stores, because Chris, I think I speak for both of us when I say we had always planned for record stores to be part of the process of how we sort of introduce the movie to the world. We plan it not in this way specifically, but like we'd always planned for record stores to be part of it. And we hope that thinking positively, this has just given us an opportunity to meet so many more of them. And to make so many more friends, which we really feel like is the theme of our Vinyl Nation to begin with.
Cool. Well, in conclusion, if I can ask one final important question. What was the last record you guys bought?
Well, let's see. Actually, the last record I should say that I received is one Kevin bought for me. Kevin, I always mispronounce his name. What's his name?
Michael Kiwanuka.
Oh,
and
hell
it's
yeah.
It's his album, Kiwanuka. And,
yep.
And one of the best parts about making this movie was having other people recommend music to us. And a lot of times people would ask, well, what are you into? And I learned early in the process to tell them, I'm not going to tell you. I want you to tell me what I should listen to, because I'm too stuck in my lane. Like, I want you to introduce me to something else. And so in that spirit, Kevin sent me that record, which has been on my turntable in heavy rotation. It's also beautiful yellow vinyl. I am not a colored vinyl person. I understand from the audiophiles that black vinyl sounds better. But I don't look for colored vinyl, but I gotta say this yellow is just this gorgeous color. So it's just happiness when you pull it out of the sleeve and put it on the turntable. And again, it's nothing I would have found on my own, but I just love everything about it. And the way I think about it is it has this sense that's a theme in our movie, the way we want to approach things. Like it harkens back to the past. It sounds very contemporary, but I also feel like it's pointing to the future. And we think that's what records are. They're a compression of something from the past. They're something we get to listen to now, and they live on for decades and decades. And musically, I feel like the Kiwanuka record really fits that bill. So definitely been enjoying that with my family. Kevin, I feel like you've gotten a bunch of records recently.
I have. Like as soon as I learned about, you know, sort of successive waves of lockdowns around the country, I'm like, this is going to be really bad for places that I love to spend time and money, you know, record stores, bookstores, movie theaters. And I was like, I'm just going to start ordering from these places as much as I can. And my wife, who is completely in support of this effort, is also like, listen, like we do not live in an airplane hangar. Like we can't, there's a limited amount of square footage in here. So we as noble as what, as supporting small businesses is, we can't fill this place up with stuff in the name of doing that. I'm like, she's absolutely right. How about I buy records for other people? And she's like that works. And so that's how Chris was the first one. That's how Chris got the Michael Kiwanuka record.
I'm a beneficiary.
I had used the lockdown as an excuse to buy. We had met some folks from Light in the Attic at making vinyl in Detroit a year or so ago when we were doing research. God, it was almost 2 years now. And we actually filmed at their offices in Los Angeles and were introduced to their catalog. And I fell completely in love with the three Bette Davis studio albums that Michael, that Light in the Attic had re-released, and Oliver Wong, who did the liner notes for those, is one of the talking heads in our movie.
Oh, cool.
So I used this opportunity to round out that collection, and I'm really happy I did. And also, like, right before this started happening, I had felt the urge to buy some records, and I'm glad I did, because I was sort of able to get myself in a regular pattern of buying records from the record stores that are important to me. I got the Jamila Woods album. What's it called, Chris?
Legacy.
Which
is rotation here.
Yeah, which is just magnificent, and is one of those records that similar to what Chris was just saying, is a record that is grounded in the past, and you can hear its references and footnotes to the musical traditions it comes from, but it feels utterly contemporary at the same time, and you can also imagine listening to it 10 years from now. It's not a record you're gonna dig out from your collection 10 years from now and say, oh my God, what was I thinking in 2020? like and that stupid haircut I had, and like, no, you're not gonna that record is not going to embarrass you. So those are really this is a small sampling of the records I've been listening to. I've been trying to buy from a lot of the stores that are in our movie, and you know, Headline Records in Los Angeles is in our movie, and they're a punk record store. So I like punk music, but I have very few punk records in my collection. So I've been getting some sort of punk classics from them, like, you know, Bad Brains' Eye Against Eye and some early Dead Kennedys albums and stuff like that. And then Harris Breath Records in Baltimore had a really good soul, funk, and jazz sort of library that we were made aware of when we filmed there. For our movie, and so I got some early Funkadelic records from them, and it's really great to sort of in lieu of going to these record stores, which is really what I want to do, to spend some time on their Discogs page and just be like, oh man, you know, when we did post production in Austin, and one day when we finished early, Chris and I went to Breakaway, and I was like, well, I'm in Austin. I'm going to get some country records. I'm going to get some Stevie Ray Vaughan. I'm going to get all that kind of stuff. And then I went to Breakaway's Discogs page, and I'm like, my God, everything is like Sun Ra and like new age early 70s music. And I'm like, well, that's cool. Good on you, Breakaway. I didn't know this about you. So that's what I ended up getting from them.
So wait, I got to turn the question around. What is the one record we should be listening to right now that we need to get our hands on?
That's a strong statement. Should be the one you should be?
Good.
Well, yeah.
Question.
Come on, you're asking what we got. Like, what's the record I should be listening to right now?
I'm going to say, just off the cuff, an album called Texas Sun by Krongbin and Leon Bridges. Two great Texas bands who put out an EP together, and it is the only flaw in this record is that it is only four songs. If it was a full album, it would be outstanding.
All right, I just wrote it down. It's on the list. Is it available at Dark Side Records by any chance?
What a coincidence.
It might just be. I'm not sure if we're sold out or not. It was a limited press, and it is on Gold Sun vinyl as well.
Ooh,
very nice.
Adding to the list.
What do you got, JJ?
I'm going to throw in, so I've been in the store just doing a lot of shipping and answering the phone, and it gets a little stir crazy sometimes, so I've been tending a little more upbeat. So I'm going to go with Idols, Joy is an Act of Resistance.
Mm.
Oh, that is a great record. I love that record.
It's got so much heart, and it's so angry, but it's so fun and positive at the same time. It's really kind of been getting me through all the Groundhog Days here in the store.
Yeah, that's nice. A really good record.
Cool. Well, there you go. Those are Dark Side. Oh God, I need a good bit for this. These are like our Dark Side picks. Now all our podcasts have to be video podcasts going forward, so we can do this Laura Palmer hand gesture here. Cool. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you guys talking about your movie with us. All this being said, this weekend, provided you're listening to this podcast in the past, if you're listening to it in the future, it already happened. And thank you for buying and watching the movie this what was supposed to be Record Store Day weekend. But if you want to get in to see it, you can head on over to darksiderecords.com. You can find the unique link that while the movie supports indie record stores, that the unique link that goes to support Darkside. And it's $10. Just watch the movie. It's
you're not doing anything otherwise. You're just sitting around.
Come on.
Hulu only has so much.
We've all gained our COVID-19. I've been waiting like an hour to work that joke in. Okay. So support the movie. Gentlemen, thank you for being here.
And, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And on behalf of Darkside Records, I'm JB.
I'm JJ.
We'll see y'all in the bins.
Someday.
Someday.